This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Let's get into free agency beginning at noon tomorrow, so just over 24 hours from now, free agency. They call it legal tampering. It's not. It's free agency. Joe Patrick, of course, covers the Atlanta Falcons for us. He's our Falcons insider. And, Joe, let's just kind of begin at the beginning here. I noticed that this is really an indictment kind of on the current administration. They must get the whole Michael Penix thing right, because post Matt Ryan, all four of the starting quarterbacks, Taylor Heinicke, Noodle Arm Quitter, DoorDash Dez, and now Broke Down Liar, all four are available and on the open market because nobody wants them.
Yeah.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's definitely true. But hey, I mean, I don't know about you, John, but like, I mean, I could not be more impressed really with what we saw from Michael Penix in the last three games, those three games. I just retweeted recently just a highlight video, great highlight video of the highlights of those games with the old NFL films, like background music, you know, of the old like Vikings or Packers, the kind of that old school music. Anyway, just thought that he was phenomenal, and I could not be more optimistic about his prospects going into next season. Now, are there a lot of question marks? Absolutely, because he does not have the experience, and there is now some film on him, so teams will have been able to adjust. And with Zach Robinson, I think there's still kind of a lot to prove there on his end. A very bright coordinator who did not get any head coaching interviews during another busy cycle, which I think you probably wouldn't have thought would be the case considering the kind of hype he had coming in. But lots of these guys to prove, but I think the talent is there, both for Penix, but for Zach Robinson to get this thing together and get it right. And I do think, I don't think there's any bones about it that this franchise has a quarterback for the next decade. I think the problem for them now, obviously, is going to be trying to, dig out of this little bit of hole that Kirk Cousins leaves, because the team ultimately wanted to devote X amount of dollars or X amount of capital toward getting the quarterback position right. I think they did get it right, but they didn't get it right in the way that's not going to create some short-term pain, and that's obviously what they're going to have to deal with right now.
Well, with and I'm this earlier in the show, free agency, legal tampering, free agency, at noon Monday. Kirk Cousins, if I were Arthur Blank in that meeting that they, you know, reportedly had this week, I would have said, hey, you're free to go talk to teams now. And Kirk could have said, yeah, but that legal tampering hasn't started. That would be cheating. Well, yeah, you've done it before. I mean, look, us, right? Okay. Anyway, go ahead. You know, I mean, cut your own deal. You know, figure out something here, because they've got to figure out a way to move on from this, because – Joe, I think it's sort of untenable, especially when you have a meeting with the owner and the owner says, yeah, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the team, which is to say, we're going to dump you. We just have to make sure that you give us the ability to do so. We're not going to let you pick and choose what team you get traded to. You just got to give us the blanket no trade, or we're going to part, as we talked about, not necessarily as the backup quarterback. We may have you as like the scout team quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great leverage that the Falcons have in this situation, is they hold the contract. They hold the contract, and Kirk obviously wants out of that contract. That's really what we learned this week. And listen, I don't actually think it's in the Falcons' best interest to get rid of Kirk Cousins at this point in time. As crazy that is to say, it is in the Falcons' best interest to get rid of Kirk Cousins at some point. But honestly, if you just look at the cap, the best thing they can do for their cap number is to trade him after June 1st. So that could leave us, if that is the case, that could leave us in a pretty significant period of uncomfortability, I would say, where Kirk Cousins remains a part of this team, including receiving his $10 million roster bonus. Now, if he does receive that, that money does not affect this year's cap. That would affect the next year's cap. And that money would obviously go into just changing his overall value. But I think that, John, I just think that things really turned this week in a way that is conducive for the Falcons getting capital back, which is, one, we know that now that Kirk Cousins is willing to make things happen to get out, including what we have to believe would be, you know, agreeing to waive his no trade clause. There is potential that he could even take a pay cut in order for the Falcons to then be able to release him for a less salary cap number. The reason that Kirk might want to do that is so then he can then go and sign a new contract with a team, despite taking the pay cut, that can give him more guaranteed money, more years on the end. So that could be something that happens. But also, you know, the Falcons can make the argument, hey, we have the best backup quarterback in the league. Now, hold your laughter now. We have the best backup quarterback in the league, and we're going to value that quarterback for what he's worth. Not only what we have him on contract for, but if we were to have to get rid of him, if we were to trade him or, you know, release him, then we have to go out and sign another backup quarterback. That's going to cost us money, and that's really the reason, I think that's like the main reason why you don't just see the Falcons cutting right now, because if they cut right now, they get nothing in return, and they just open up another need for them this offseason with having to fill that spot. So, you know, I continue to think they're going to hold on to Kirk Cousins, and it's not that they're not going to entertain trade offers, but they're just not going to move him for anything less than what they see. And also, John, the other kind of piece of this is Geno Smith getting traded at 30. He's a 34-year-old quarterback, a lot less, you know, just productive in his career than Kirk Cousins, although I can understand why Geno is technically a more valuable quarterback than Kirk Cousins at this point in Cousins' career. And Geno just went for a third-round pick. You know, that is that is a lot of compensation. I don't think Kirk would go for a third-round pick just because he is older, but still, I mean, that is a good deal. Like, you know, $25 million for Kirk Cousins for a team like the Giants, for example, who need competent quarterback play, or the brass is going to all get fired. I think it's going to be a very tempting move for some teams around the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with Joe's analysis here. Kirk's going to be held on to probably until after June 1st. And the other thing is Falcons are going to try and create is leverage. They've got leverage now on Kirk Cousins, who, you know, openly admitted that he wants out of his contract by meeting with Arthur Blank. And they have leverage now to be able to hold on to him and let injuries happen and things of the like, where teams start to panic and then overpay in terms of future compensation and things of that nature. So we'll see how this kind of all plays out. Now, the bigger question is, when you're underwater on the cap, you know, presuming You know, some players get cut. You're not bringing back Drew Dolman. You just can't afford him right now. And so Ryan Uziel is going to be your center. Maybe you go out and get another veteran. I don't know how they're going to handle that. Do you think they bring – I'm going to just do a little rapid fire. Because I think – all right, I'll just say a couple things to see if you say yes or no. I think the Falcons will offer both Matt Judon and Justin Simmons new deals at lesser money, and both will take them. Yes or no?
I would say no, mainly for the Judon part of that. I don't think the Falcons are interested in that. But I think Simmons, yes, very possible.
All right, let's go with the Grady reworks his deal, $16.2 million, agrees to restructure his deal into like a three-year deal, spread it out, take some money on the front end, and stay a Falcon for life.
Yeah, I think that's got to happen. I think there's interest in both sides. There would be reasonable interest in both sides in doing that. I think that that may happen today, but we'll see.
David Onyemata gets cut.
Yeah, I think that's got to happen. That might be – well, that I think that's probably the more – that's definitely the more likely thing that, to happen today. Because this news has got to come out sometime. They got to cut $4
million. Right.
But, yeah.
Right, exactly. Caleb McGarry also restructures to stay with the team.
Ooh, that is a great question. I'm going to say no, just because I think that that would be putting a lot of faith in Caleb, you know, in terms of him being more of a longer-term piece. So I'll say no, but it's not it's definitely on the table.
Because if he doesn't, I think they're going to look at him and say, I think they're going to cut him. But they need to create money somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think his contract is, you know, we got to create, because they have to go out and get some people, right? They need to bring Simmons back more so than Judon, because they've got two holes in their secondary. They don't need three. And I know that Falcons.com said, well, they'll go out and get, you know, Reed or somebody else to play safety, Fuller, I forget who, because I've seen different projections. And I'm like, yeah, well, just bring Simmons back. I mean, don't create more mess. You've got to be able to go out there, because I think what the Falcons ultimately would like to do is that they would like to explore the possibility of getting a veteran for a edge, a Khalil Mack, for example. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be, you know, or maybe even a Hassan Reddick, but a veteran, you know, who can act, who still has a little bit of game, who can act like a Dwight Freeney for Braylon Trice and for Arnold Ebiketie, and free them up to be able to go to, and I think what they're thinking is, at 15, 16, 18, that they could possibly trade down and still get same value at 15 as they could, let's say, at 20 or 21 in terms of a corner to go opposite A.J. Terrell. So if the plan pre-draft is to say, look, we value three corners at about the same, you know, Emmanuelle or Johnson or whomever, and we can go from 15 to 21 and pick up another pick here in the, you know, third round, for example, we need to do that. So, therefore, what we need to do is we need to get a veteran in here, edge. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, we're going to go get Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson. They're not swimming in those waters. Not that Khalil Mack would be cheap, but you could go out and get a Khalil Mack, for example, or a Hassan Reddick as a veteran guy to go there and say, look, we like our edges. Now we have to go address the other part, which is the secondary, and we got to go get a corner. And, by the way, we got to get another linebacker, too. So, with all the holes on defense, I think that's how they're going to attack. How do you view it?
I agree with you. I think that they're going to go for more. I think that they will draft somebody on the edge, an edge defender, maybe even with their second round pick. But I think that they're going to their top free agent acquisition this offseason is going to be a pass rusher, a veteran pass rusher. It just seems like that to me, because that's the quickest way that you get return on that value. Draft picks, first round draft picks, John, they average like defensive ends. I'm talking about. They only average about like 4 sacks in their rookie year. This is a team that needs to win now. They need to up the sack production immediately. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is going to be through a signing. Although I think that it makes total sense to kind of support that immediate, you know, the signing and the immediate production with a draft pick and a longer term player that you can develop.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating tomorrow. So let's see what the Falcons do today, because they have to create some cap room. And I think redoing Grady's deal, I know that a lot of people are like, well, you know, if you cut Grady, you know, you save like $12 million or something, because he's got $4 million still on the cap from a bonus. But you know what? Because I still think that that's a silly move. I think he's popular in the locker room. I think he's an anchor point on defense. I think you would miss him. People say he's not as productive. He's not. He's going to be 32 years old. But some of that is that, you know, people and teams double him because there's no other threat outside of him. So
Yeah.
And certain guys, yeah. certain guys have not developed here. I mean, we didn't see necessarily the development last year that we had hoped to see from a rookie like Rook or even a second-year guy like Zach Harrison. So I don't know what Jeff Ulbricht is planning to do here, but I think that a veteran would really help on the edge, and that would free them up to be able to address other concerns.
No doubt. And just really quickly, we talked to Grady at exit interview day, and he seemed extremely optimistic about the future of the team and really seemed to have a desire to continue to want to be a part of this Falcons team. So I think that there's definitely interest on his side to, you know, continue with this thing. He likes being here. And I think that he is kind of one of those quote unquote favorite sons, so to speak, as far as like Arthur Blank and the Falcons organization, just in terms of the model kind of citizen, model professional he's been inside and outside that locker room. There's obviously a ton of respect both ways, and that's why I don't really see a cut as being something that seems super realistic, really.